From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
For the first time since before COVID, we are back live here at Speaking Rock, 122 South Old Pueblo Road, broadcasting live from the main bar. And by the way, I love the main bar. I have five TV screens right in front of me, and there's another five that are on the other side. So come down. You get a great spot here at the bar. Get ready for the Cowboys tailgate party at the Rock tonight with the Cowboys and the Giants getting started here in a couple hours. Free entry to the Cowboys and Giants. You can watch the game on our big screens while you have a chance to win some great prizes as well. Not to mention, we talked about this earlier in the week, Jay Novacek. What a guest that is. He's visiting us here at Speaking Rock. In fact, you can have a chance to meet him starting at 5:15. That's right, 5:15 is when he will come out and meet fans. Photos are being sold for $10 each, and then with this, you can get one item of your choice signed. So for $10, you can either get a photo or something else signed by Jay Novacek. I love that. By the way, want to remind everybody, Speaking Rock is a 21 and over venue, so no exceptions. 21 and over only here at Speaking Rock. They're open 24/7, 365 days a year. And where we are right now, out at the main bar, you've got a lot going on. Cash only, by the way, at the bars and the outside food stations. And we're hanging out with you, getting ready for the Cowboys and the Giants out here tonight at Speaking Rock. Super happy to be back. I am reunited with Mario Gonzalez for the first time since before COVID. So you talk about, greatness. Hey, we've got the A-team out here. I'm excited about Mario being here. Love the fact that Cowboys fans are already making their way for the game tonight. And love the fact that you can join us out here live for the next couple of hours. All right. We got a ton to talk to, a ton to talk about. We've got Jay Jaffe going to be joining us here in a little bit. We also have Lee Sterling coming on the show today. And Adrian, who am I leaving out? Because I know there's other guests that we've got planned on the show today.
No, I think that's it, right, Steve?
Okay.
We've got a good one today. So we're really excited and a lot to talk about in the world of sports.
I'm hoping we can get Jay Novacek to stop by before he goes out. No guarantees, but we'll work on that part too, see if we can do it. Also, we put this poll up on the website or on the Twitter and X profile earlier this morning. Let me get to this now. We asked you, where do you think the Miners will be in 2025? 320 votes are in, Adrian, with 15 hours left. So we asked you, Conference USA, Pac-12, Mountain West, where do you think the Miners will be next year? How about this? 50.6% of you have said the Mountain West. 34.7% have said the Pac-12, and only 14.7% voted Conference USA. That means 85.3% of everybody polled on Twitter and X have said either the Mountain West Conference or the Pac-12, which is where we will start today. As big as this Cowboys game is, and I know we're going to be talking about that throughout the show and its implications, the story that broke late last night with UNLV and Air Force both committing to the Mountain West, and now the subsequent memorandum of understanding signed by everybody, all seven schools in the Mountain West, keeps everybody together. They're going to be splitting money between the seven of them. There will be no more Mountain West schools now going to the Pac. So the Pac has seven, the Mountain West has seven, including Hawaii, and a lot of people speculating officially now that UTEP, Adrian, could be in play for one, if not both, openings as of today.
Yeah, it's wild, Steve. What wild stuff this is that's happening right now in conference realignment, in college athletics. The fact that UTEP, and yes, UTEP, I'll take another pause right there, is the bell of the ball for these two conferences right now is outrageous. Just for everybody keeping score at home, the Pac-7 consists of Oregon State, Washington State, Utah State, San Diego State, Colorado State, Fresno State, and Boise State. Meanwhile, Mountain West is made up right now of Air Force, UNLV, Nevada, New Mexico, San Jose, and Wyoming.
I know. The whole thing is crazy right now. Now, I will say this. We're kind of wondering timelines. How soon could the Mountain West solidify themselves? In fact, Adrian, when you look at the national writers, they're all on this story. You've got Chris Vanini from The Athletic. You've got Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports. You've got Brett McMurphy from the Action Sports Network. And you also have Pete Dammel as well. They're all, and Pete Dammel's from ESPN. Everybody is breaking stories left and right. I was curious about this. I feel like Ross Dellinger is just ahead of everybody right now for a lot of these big stories involving the Mountain West. He believes, okay, 5 to 7 days. 5 to 7 days is how long it might take when the Mountain West adds and officially, just bulks itself back up to 9 schools. So let's look at that timeline for a second, right? 5 to 7 days. That means a week from today, we could already know who the Mountain West has filled up with. You got to figure the Pac-12, or right now the Pac-7, they're on the same timeline. So the great thing about today's story, that it's now done with UNLV and Air Force, is now these conferences can all move on to the next phase, which is filling up membership so that they're good to go in 2026.
Yeah, how interesting is this that this could move so quickly? This could move within a week. A week from now, we could be talking about UTEP officially out of Conference USA and into a new conference, which is so interesting to me, Steve. The last time this realignment happened, you'll recall Conference USA was dead in the water until they were able to acquire the likes of Liberty, the likes of New Mexico State, and then get the FCS to FBS transition from Jacksonville State and Sam Houston State. You want to leave behind Conference USA if you're UTEP. It makes no geographic sense. And I know we've had people on this show say there's not any conference that makes geographic sense anymore. But for a school like UTEP and a university like this that has so many budgetary restraints, travel is everything. It's not just, football and men's basketball. It's all the other sports. Travel is everything right there for expenses with this athletic department.
Listen to this. Dellinger just sent this out 5 minutes ago, the release from the Mountain West that the 7 schools have, in fact, solidified their membership in the conference. So here's what they did. They signed the Memorandum of Understanding to remain in the league. The conference and the institutions have also formally agreed to execute a grant of media rights from the member institutions to the conference from July 1st, 2026 through June 30th, 2032. So what does that mean? It means that they are going to provide distribution payments to the remaining member schools in accordance with the bylaws of the Mountain West using the formulas. Air Force and UNLV are going to get 24.5% of the distribution payments from the schools that left the Mountain West, okay? Nevada, New Mexico, San Jose State, and Wyoming are going to receive 15.83% of the funds, and Hawaii, 5%. Now, here's the thoughts on this, okay? Do you remember a few years ago when Conference USA was on the verge of collapse, and then all of a sudden the schools that were left, were brought in with Jacksonville State, Sam Houston State, New Mexico State, and now we've seen Kennesaw State, Delaware, and Missouri State coming in next year. Conference USA, to my knowledge, Adrian, did not give any of the 5 remaining schools after everybody left any of the exit fees from the programs that went to the AAC and the Sun Belt. At least as far as we know, that never happened, because when they also signed their grant of media rights deal, I had never heard that UTEP, Louisiana Tech, Middle Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, or Florida International received anything from Conference USA with all the new schools coming in. So what Mountain West did here to keep this league together is a smart play. You give Air Force and UNLV the 24.5% cut. You give the remaining schools minus Hawaii almost 16%. and then you give Hawaii, the football-only school, 5%. It's a good way to incentivize them sticking around and keeping that conference together.
Yes, and now they just need one more conference affiliate to be recognized by the NCAA. The Pac-7 also needs one more institution to fill it to where it has 8 member schools, 8 member universities. I'm curious, you know, UTEP's obviously in play. We're also hearing the likes of Texas State in play. We're also wondering, would a FCS school like Sacramento State make the financial commitment to pay $5 million to become FBS? There's a lot of things in play with this realignment.
It's fascinating. Let's go to the phones right now before we break and go with Jay Jaffe talking a little baseball and beer. Let's say hello to Beto. He joins us next. Conference realignments, the talk at 505-6009 with Sports Talk Live out here at Speaking Rock. What's going on, Beto? How are you?
I'm doing great. You guys are always wonderful, and this is exactly what we expect you all to be doing, discussing local athletics, especially as big as it is for UTEP and the Mountain West. And,
no doubt.
You know, We're all behind the leadership of UTEP. Number one, we've got great leadership in our athletic director and our president. They've been there. They know what they're doing. And so I think El Pasoans should support their decision. I have a comment and then a question. My comment is that I think we're on the right track. You know, in the Mountain West and stay in the Rockies. My question is this. A long time ago, this was 20 years ago, when the WAC was breaking up and, you know, we were looking at options. There was big discussion about television audience. What could El Paso bring in terms of a television audience? You know, and maybe with streaming and all the technologies, it's not an issue anymore. And so I like your thoughts on that. And I do wish NMSU, you know, the very best. I think, you know, as strong as they are as a rival, but there are people. There are. It's the river, you know, just like UNM. But a little kinship to NMSU, a little love to them as well. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, Beto. Okay, as far as the viewing audience, I would love to see. I don't know if anybody at CUSA has this, but wouldn't you love to know the viewership and streaming numbers for every school and how that plays out through their deal with ESPN Plus? I would be fascinated, Adrian, to know how each school in ESPN Plus viewership goes for each of these games.
Yeah, I would just say this. The ESPN Plus side of things makes it a little difficult. They've had difficulties quantifying streaming audiences in the past, so I'm curious to hear how that number would look if they are able to get that number. The other side to this, Steve, you know, just I think this was a really good point that head coach Joe Golding made today, and he wasn't even talking about conference realignment, but he was saying how, you know, when you talk about ESPN Plus and having your, you know, your product available on those streaming services, you also put yourself in a place to be seen internationally, like across the border, those fans in Mexico, the fans in Juarez where they'll be playing a practice, the fans in Chihuahua where they'll be playing an exhibition game for the first time ever. Those fans will get a chance to log on their ESPN Plus subscription and watch UTEP from there.
Great point. And by the way, think about this too, okay? Since the Pac and Mountain West are both in play for adding schools, if UTEP does not get out of CUSA in this round and land in either of these two conferences, Adrian, they are never going to get an opportunity like this ever again. Like, this is the ultimate, ultimate chance if you're UTEP. Think about it. Football's 0-4, right? They haven't won. And yet, because of the way these leagues are now being reformed, they have to get schools. UTEP has got to make sure under all circumstances, from the athletic department to the office of the president, that they are in the proper position so that when these conferences are looking, they are in the discussion to make sure, for the sake of the fan base and the future of these programs, that they can position themselves to jump into either of these two leagues.
After doing research on these two conferences and what it would take, and I would say it takes a financial commitment by the university right here, If they fumble this bag in any way, this athletic department needs to be held accountable for it. They can't do it. This is the golden opportunity. If there's ever been an opportunity out there, it never has felt more clear than now.
But is it the athletic department or is it the president? Because when it comes down to it, the president is the one that gets the call from the conference, and they're the ones that has the final say. So we could talk about Jim Senter and his group all we want till we're blue in the face, but the truth is the final call on whether or not this will happen falls into the hands of Dr. Heather Wilson.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that it goes hand in hand because of how, together Heather Wilson and Jim Senter have worked together throughout everything. I mean, whether it's coaching hires or even navigating the new TV deal that CUSA signed a couple years ago, I feel like they have to work hand in hand on this.
I agree with you. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to revisit this subject at the bottom of the hour as we continue. Up next, though, Jay Jaffe, final week of baseball. He's going to give us his thoughts on the postseason, the final race, Shohei Ohtani, and more as Sports Talk continues right after Charlie won and this traffic update.
Steven, El Paso Metroplex, some rough spots right now. First of all, I go to the freeway central area, tie-up right here. I-10 East at US 54, where that spaghetti bowl starts. We have a collision on the left lane, but the backup goes back to about maybe the Piedras area. So we got some backup here. Bumper to bumper, all lanes. I-10 East at US 54, spaghetti bowl. We have a crash right there. UTEP area, we have Schuster and Lawton on a minor accident there. Central area, Durazno and Radford, we have a wreck going on. We have construction going on. I-10 East at Vinton, left lane taken away. I-10 East at Lee Trevino, right lane, take it away. A lot of construction. I'm going to get to some more on the next break. Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Rimcon, 78 years in business. Original family since 1946. Famous tortilla soup, popular Mr. T specials, full menu. Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Rimcon, Charlie 1600, ESPN El Paso.
Back on Sports Talk, back live out here at Speaking Rock in the main bar, getting you ready for the Cowboys and the Giants in a couple of hours. We're going to get back to your phone calls, a lot of discussion on UTEP and conference realignment, as you might imagine, but we've also got the final weekend of the Major League Baseball regular season, and things are getting interesting, especially regarding the wild card races that are still around. Here to talk a little baseball and beer with us is our good pal Jay Jaffe from Fangraphs. Welcome back, Jay. Good to have you on the show, and let's get right to it. The National League wild card is fascinating. The Padres have clinched. The Mets and Diamondbacks are currently tied with the Braves a game back. And considering the controversy surrounding the Braves-Mets series with the rainouts and now the doubleheader on Monday, you tell me, did Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred handle this situation correctly?
No. No, I really don't think so. I think they should have been more proactive in rescheduling the games, moving the times up so they could get at least two of these games in. I understand the reasoning that, you know, putting the pressure on the Braves, who were down two at the start of the series, to start it with a doubleheader in order to get the series in might have been a bit of a reach. But, you know, you're the commissioner. You've got the best interest of baseball powers. You got to do something to avoid this. This is absolutely the worst possible outcome here. You're going to make one or possibly two, both of these teams fly across country with their pitching staff depleted on Monday in order to open up a three-game series on Tuesday. And I just don't see where that's a good resolution. You know, the concern for the Braves was that they were going to lose out on three possible sellouts. That's pocket change to Major League Baseball. They could have easily, you know, made the Braves whole by, you know, and rescheduled this, or made up the difference, or some amount of the difference to help offset the potential loss of revenue. Just not a good look for baseball, and you know, the players' union would have had to sign off, but they were pretty confident that Major League Baseball would screw it up, and of course they did.
Yeah, exactly right. By the way, are we 100% sure that Monday's doubleheader will not be played at Truist Park in Atlanta?
Well, you know, I mean, I think if it needed to be moved for weather purposes, they would look into moving it. I mean, I think if the Diamondbacks were to lose out or whatever, possible that both teams would qualify, and they would the commissioner's office could determine seeding based on their existing records, which I believe puts the Braves ahead of the Mets. But boy, given the way that the Braves manipulated this in their favor, I think that would be even tougher to swallow, giving them the higher seed in all of this.
Think about it for a second, Jay. The Braves stay back. They host Kansas City this weekend. The Mets flew today to Milwaukee for the three-game set with the Brewers. Then they got to go back to Atlanta. The Braves, meanwhile, stay home the whole time, and then they get to host a doubleheader on Monday if need be.
Yeah, it's fine that they're hosting the doubleheader and they don't have to travel. It's just the way, you know, I've heard criticism in some quarters that the Mets had a chance to fly down for a single game that would have made this up. You know, that's not the same as moving a schedule, like, say, turning a night game into a day game. You know, taking away an off day from a team and making them travel twice for it is just, you know, not equal to a slight time shift. I think this was botched.
All right. Meanwhile, a lot being said right now about the final games potentially in Oakland at the Coliseum. Did you ever have a chance to attend any A's games over there in years past?
No, I never made it over there. The few times I've made it out to the Bay Area, I was in San Francisco, or when I was in Oakland, it was for non-baseball purposes. So I'm sorry I never made it. And my heart really does ache for the A's fans, though. I mean, I think they've just gotten the short end of the stick here at every turn. And this is a great baseball city that has been robbed of its team. It's going to cost baseball some very devoted fans because A's really did have the A's and their fans really have had a connection over the years. They've been a very accessible team.
Funny, I feel like we're watching playoff caliber baseball right now, just this week with the Dodgers and Padres.
Oh yeah, that series has been fun. I stayed up late last night to watch that one, and these two teams are very closely matched. The Padres have actually had the head-to-head edge. The Dodgers really bought themselves some breathing room by beating them last night. I think, you know, now it's a much taller order for the Padres to catch them. I think our playoff odds put it at around 3%. So we'll see what happens.
Meanwhile, you've been busy writing. You wrote about the strongest and the weakest positions on the remaining NL and AL contenders. That's up at Fangraphs.com. You also have the wild card final week, which we talked about just a little while ago with the Mets and the Braves. But let's not forget about Arizona. They're also very much in that picture in the National League. And as far as the American League goes, I don't think I ever would have picked the Royals and Tigers to be potentially with the Twins all battling it out to see who can join the Orioles for the wild card.
Yeah, well, the Tigers until a couple weeks ago didn't look like they even had a shot at this, and they've suddenly been playing great baseball with about half of a rotation here, and they have shot into the picture. And the Twins, meanwhile, have absolutely pancaked. They've lost 23 out of their last 35, dating back to August 18th, if I'm remembering my numbers now here, having written about them recently. It's really opened the door for a bit of chaos, and we saw that the number of chairs remaining was reduced here because the Mariners were eliminated today. They blew a 10-game division lead in record time and fired their manager, and it's just another disastrous season there. And boy, you know, I feel for my family up in Seattle that roots for the Mariners, because this current regime is just fumbled some golden opportunities in recent years.
No doubt. What do you have for us coming up at Fangraphs the rest of the week, Jay?
Yeah, so tomorrow I will do the weakest spots on AL contenders. That'll finish up this four-part series. And then I'm on the hook for the NL wild card preview, which is going to be a very difficult needle to thread given the scheduling. I believe I have the one that has the NL West loser, the NL West runner-up, that is. And so I will, at the very least, have a head start because I've written a lot on both the Dodgers and the Padres this year, and the Diamondbacks too, but it's going to be the Padres here. So I will be previewing that series, and then next Tuesday I will be part of our group wildcard chat.
It's all up right now at fangraphs.com. All right, Jay, give us a beer pick of the week to wrap us up here this week for the regular season.
Okay, well, last night, the reason this has been bumped till Tuesday was last night I had college friends in town meeting for a last-minute drinks and dinner thing. We did some Korean barbecue, and before we did that, we met at a bar called American Whiskey in Midtown. And with this crew, I knew I had to take it slow here because it was going to be a long evening. And so I started off with a flagship Pilsner. Flagship is a local brewery. This is a special Pilsner that they do for the American Whiskey Bar. It's a 4.6% ABV, and it was really quite nice, quite refreshing. And I was in one of those situations where, you know you're going to have three beers before dinner. You better be careful. So I survived the night, lived to tell the tale, drank enough water, and here I am quite chipper today.
Love it. That's good stuff. Jay, enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll have a good time talking some playoff baseball with you next week on the program. Always appreciate the conversation.
All right. Sure thing, Steve. Take care.
He's Jay Jaffe, folks, and he joins us every week here on Sports Talk from Fangraphs.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @J_Jaffe. Bottom of the hour, Adrian's back with SportsCenter. Then right back to your phone calls. UTEP, conference realignment. Will they go to the Mountain West? Will they go to the Pac? Will they stay in Conference USA? We're discussing it next right here, 600 ESPN El Paso.
Thank you, Steve. The UTEP men's basketball team will make history by playing a game in Mexico for the first time since the 70s. The Miners will face Universidad Autónoma de Chihuahua in an exhibition contest Saturday, October 19th, 7:30 p.m. in the 9,000-seat Gimnasio Universiado Manuel Bernardo Aguirre. That is all news that is going on right now. Ticket information for this exhibition will be announced at a later date. NCAA rules have mandated that preseason exhibition games be contested on the campuses of member institution. However, a waiver was approved by the NCAA, enabling the Miners to play the game in Chihuahua in conjunction with the 70th anniversary of the founding of UACH. This is all news that happened today for some UTEP basketball. Let's go over to some more news today. This out of Major League Baseball coming up later tonight. It's the Padres-Dodgers. You just heard Steve and Jay talk about it. That one coming up at 8:10 out at Dodger Stadium. Walker Buehler versus Joe Musgrove. Wow, what a matchup tonight, and it's taking place out in L.A. Brewers defeated the Pirates today 5-2. Joey Ortiz in this matchup had an RBI double, who gave the Brewers a bigger lead in this matchup. Also, Royals get a 7-4 victory against the Nationals today. That one, thanks to Adam Frazier, who had a clutch RBI single, who broke the tie in this matchup. From earlier today as well, how about the Tigers defeating the Rays 4-3. The White Sox blanked the Angels 7-0. The Rockies edged out the Cardinals 10-8. And the A's get their final win in Oakland 3-2. That's a look at your SportsCenter update. I'm Adrian Broaddus.
All right, Adrian, thank you very much. As we keep things moving here, 34 past the hour, 505-6009. That is our telephone number, 505-6009. We've got Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports coming up at the top of our 5 o'clock hour, which means we can take your calls for the next 25 minutes as we get you up to speed and ready to go for the topic of the day, UTEP, their future. Where will they go, or will they stay in Conference USA when it's all said and done? We put the poll up. We gave the poll results a little while ago. And looking at some of the reactions from people since we started this poll, I love the comments that we've been getting. This one was from Vince. When did ESPN 600 think that they would ever make a poll with UTEP and Pac-12 in the same sentence? Vince, you're 100% right. I mean, that's the truth. Never. This was done. You know what's hilarious? I got to say this, okay? We've got a pretty tight group of some diehard fans that all text together, and Adrian's in the same text thread as me. And one of those fans, Edgar, weeks upon weeks ago, dropped the whole PAC idea of UTEP, which I thought was the most ridiculous scenario I could ever imagine. And now it could actually be a possibility, Adrian. That to me is kind of how this craziness is summed up over these last few weeks.
Yeah, I told somebody today this at UTEP practice. If you have any certainty, or if you want to make any kind of certain prediction out there, I mean, it's just going to be changed in the next 24 hours. That's how quickly things change right now in conference realignment. And if you feel like you have an inkling on one side or the other, I just feel like that's just false right now. It's too early to tell. I'll ask you this, though, Steve. In terms of preference, where would you go? Pac-12 or Mountain West as it stands right now with the seven squads or seven universities per each conference?
I'm taking Mountain West. I know a lot of fans would disagree with me, and they'd say, go Pac, Mountain West never wanted UTEP, don't go now, screw them and go right to the Pac. I feel like from a budget standpoint, you know, UTEP's budget is definitely on the lower end of the spectrum with the Mountain West, but their budget would be just ridiculously low for the Pac. And that'd be the only thing that worries me is, could they even compete from a budget standpoint because of schools in the Pac and how much more money they will spend on athletics? And don't believe that just because the Miners would go to another conference, they'll still invest and spend more. You only can spend as much as you're given from an athletic department. And I don't even know if these moves will allow them to spend more money towards athletics versus the way they have in years past. That's the other really interesting thing for the budget. They don't get anything from the Texas system. They're not going to for this kind of a thing, this kind of a jump. So, Adrian, I just don't know if financially they could even compete with the Pac, considering how much more those seven schools would spend on athletics than UTEP.
Budgets scare me the most in all of this right here. And if there's ever a reason why UTEP does not make a move, I think financial reasons is probably one of them. I get nervous about that right there, knowing that UTEP would join either of these conferences and be probably near the bottom or at the bottom of athletic budget for their overall budget. And, you know, you talk about things like FBS and you talk about things like football. I'm terrified of the Pac-12 and what that reality looks like for UTEP in terms of being competitive on a football in a football season. In the Mountain West side of things, you still have San Jose, you still have Hawaii, you still have New Mexico. The Miners could at least be with them in the bottom of the barrel, you know, in terms of programs in football.
That's true. That is true. Plus, here's the thing for me. It would be nostalgic for the Mountain West. I grew up watching all these teams in the WAC days back in the 80s and some in the 90s when I started doing this show here on this radio station. So I'd like to see them back. The Pac sounds cool, but it's just a name. I mean, what is the Pac? It's just a name. You don't have any of the real Pac schools you ever got excited about. The two schools you have is Washington State and Oregon State, and UTEP doesn't care about those schools, or the fans don't. So, to me, when you say people are talking, you'll have to go to the Pac, that's just a name. It has no schools that give fans any excitement versus the Mountain West, which at least has a ton of former WAC rivals. You got a few of those now in the Pac, but I don't think that fans would get as excited about those schools the way they would get as excited about New Mexico, Nevada, UNLV, Wyoming, Air Force, and the schools that they've known for years and years.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is there any tie between Washington State Athletic Department official and Boise State Athletic Department official in UTEP? Am I getting this wrong?
So the Boise, let me see here for a second. I know right now that Jeremiah Dickey is the athletic director at Boise State, and he was here under Mac Rhodes and Bob Stoll. So he is part of that group, okay? Now, the next name that we have is, and I'm just trying to think about this, you've got Stephanie Remp. She is the director of athletics for the University of Nevada, and she was the former senior women's administrator here at UTEP under Bob Stoll. So believe it or not, there are two former athletic staff members that were at UTEP under Bob. One is now the AD at Boise in the Pac. The other is the director of athletics for Nevada in the Mountain West.
That's pretty interesting right there. The ties that UTEP have to some of these schools right there. I think that's where it starts, Steve. What does UTEP have ties to at Missouri State? What does UTEP have ties to at Delaware? Conference USA is becoming a glorified FCS to FBS transition conference, yep. And UTEP needs out.
Let's go to Eddie, then we'll take the break. 505-6009. Eddie, what's going on, man? How are you?
Not much, Steve. So, quick question. Okay, I'm just doing the quick math on this, right?
Yes.
So 24.5%, that's 49%, right?
Yeah.
Four other schools that round, let's round it to 15 to make it easier on the math. So that's 60%. So right there, that means when you add the other 5%+ for Hawaii, that means that the Mountain West will be paying out of their pocket, correct?
That's probably correct. Yeah, I'm not sure how the whole, how the numbers break down completely as far as the percentages mm-hmm. and how that goes, but it does seem, from a math standpoint, a little strange, because you're right. Just looking at the numbers, and let me see here, 24.5 and 24.5 is basically 49%. That's
49%.
Right. And then if you take Nevada, New Mexico, San Jose State, and Wyoming, and they each get 15.8% of the amount, it doesn't really add up to the
it doesn't.
You know,
because that
15.8
right
is
you,
yeah,
that right there already puts you almost 110, and yeah. Then you add in the additional 5.8% I think for Hawaii, so
right.
Altogether you're running in around 115 ish.
Yes, that's correct.
So then that means that. You know, if you're just going off of straight numbers, again, we don't know what the breakdown is, but just straight numbers as reported, that puts them 15% coming out of their pocket.
Right, right. That could be the case. That could be the case, yeah.
So that, now, as far as the realignment goes, and I get what you're saying about how the Pac-10 is nothing or Pac-7 is nothing anymore but a name, but at least it's a name. It's a recognizable name. So I think that would help with recruiting. I don't think that's going to be the end-all, be-all, but at least, you know, it's like I akin this to when Maryland jumped to the Big Ten, what was it, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago? They were in the ACC, but the reason that they jumped to the Big Ten was because of the name recognition. It would be able to get them more of a overall global recognition instead of just being the ACC in that local area, that local market. Now you're going, again, which was from Maryland, all the way out to, what, Nebraska? Or
right.
Iowa? So I can see, at least just by name, for name recognition only, thinking of the Pac. Now, I also agree with you that when you're talking about where does the better conference play come out of, you're going to have more of an opportunity to compete when you start thinking about the Mountain West. What would you think?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Mountain West. I mean, as far as competing, yeah, I agree.
And then the final thing I thought, did you see that? How many times have you ever seen a playoff berth clinched on a triple play?
That was wild.
The most wild. Unique baseball thing I think I've ever seen.
No doubt. Completely crazy. And yes, that was something that, you just hardly ever see it. But it was amazing the way it happened. And it was even more amazing that they called it. So, by the way, just to clarify, okay, on the original statement, it was incorrect. The Mountain West statement was wrong. Nevada, New Mexico, San Jose State, and Wyoming will each get 11.5% instead of 15.8%. 7.8%. So it's 11.5. So when you add up the 11.5 for four schools, the 24.5 for two, and the Hawaii with five, you get 100, which makes total sense. So unfortunately, whoever's running the Mountain West failed a basic math class when they first put out that release.
Somebody has to go back to school.
You would think. You would think. So awesome job. Appreciate you, Eddie. Thanks for the call. All right, we got 15 left to go in hour number one. We'll come back with plenty more from the main bar out here at Speaking Rock. Sports Talk Live, 600 ESPN El Paso.
In the El Paso Metroplex, what we have right now is a couple of wrecks going on right now. First of all, in Central, we have a crash to Durazno at Bradford. Give them room here in the UTEP area. Schuster and Lawton, we have a minor accident working there. Still some closures going on. Highton East, Lee Trevino, right lane taken away. Joe Battle North and Paseo del Este, left lane taken away. Loop 375 North and Paseo del Este, right lane taken away here. So caution in these areas. But especially caution. Right now, there's still some sluggish traffic. I want to go back to the Spaghetti Bowl area. I-10 East right now, Cotton through the Spaghetti Bowl area. Just still, they cleared up the crest and was working there a while ago, but I still see it bumper to bumper there, I-10 East Spaghetti Bowl area. And Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Rimcon, 78 years in business, famous tortilla soup, original family since 1946, home of El Paso's first papilla since 1946. Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Rimcon, Charlie 1600, ESPN El Paso.
Welcome back, everybody. As Sports Talk continues live out here at Speaking Rock by the main bar, 122 South Old Pueblo Road, getting you ready for the Cowboys and the Giants. Free entry. It's 21 and over. You can watch the games out here with us at The Rock on all the big screens while you also have an opportunity to enjoy just everything that Speaking Rock has to offer, including prizes you can win. Jay Novacek is here as well. You can meet him starting next hour. Game kicks off at 6:15. Photos, $10. And with that, you can get one item of your choice signed by Jay. Let's go back to the phones right now. 505-6009. Here is Sports Talk Carlos getting into the program. Hey, Carlos, good to have you back, man. How are you?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Hey, thanks, Carlos.
Hey, since the Pac-12 decided to expand, did you ever see like a competent columnist ever mention the Lobos for expansion?
No, and you want to know why? A couple of reasons. Number one, they do not have that high of a budget. And number two, the bigger reason is I think that the reason the four schools originally tried to get out without adding anybody else was they didn't want to stay with New Mexico and with Wyoming and some of these other programs. There's a reason why they separated. The biggest reason why Utah State got involved after the fact was because what I've heard is it's either the AD or the president at Oregon State used to be at Utah State. That's the relationship between the two that was able to get Utah State in. But no, New Mexico, I just don't think they were ever given serious consideration because I don't think the schools that left wanted them to follow.
Yeah, you know, that's like my point is that, you know, the Lobos have a really good basketball program.
They do.
And look at where it got them. The Lobo basketball program is head and shoulders above UTEP, right? But here at UTEP, we continue to pour money into the basketball program when we should be pouring it into the football program. Because UTEP might look into the Mountain West this time, but that'll be the last time if they don't start spending on basketball and decrease what they spend in, I mean, increase in football, decrease in basketball.
Well, let me tell you this. They know how much money can be made when football wins. And truth be told, they're working on the NIL now, and I do think that you're going to see much larger spending in football because you put $40,000-plus in the Sun Bowl, that's a lot more than, you know, at those prices than what you would have with your $8,000 to $10,000 for basketball.
Well, it's more like $4,000 now, right?
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. Sports Talk, Carlos. Yeah. It's been rough. It's been rough to go to both stadiums. I mean, look, I'll tell you right now, we started seeing what the crowd's going to be like for next Thursday when the UTEP-Sam Houston State game is happening, and we could have less than 10,000 fans there next Thursday night at the Sun Bowl.
Yep, and, you know, I mean, that's just how it goes. That's what happens when you lose to FCS teams. But yeah. I just wanted to say that. We need to spend more on football, less on basketball. I'll talk to you guys next time.
Appreciate it, Carlos. Thanks for the call. All right, one down, an hour and 15 minutes to go. Lee Sterling will lead off hour number two, and then right back to your calls and comments as Sports Talk continues live out here at Speaking Rock, 600 ESPN El Paso.
From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Hour number two of Sports Talk underway. Welcome back, everybody. Adrian's back at our 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. I'm live out here with my main man Mario at Speaking Rock, hanging with you in the main bar, getting ready for the Cowboys and the Giants a little more than an hour from now. Excited about the game, excited about being back here for the Cowboys tailgate party. Free entry. That's right, free entry. You can watch the game on all the big screens out here at Speaking Rock, and you also have a chance to win prizes as well. Gene Novacek is back here visiting us at Speaking Rock. You can meet him starting about 10 minutes from now. Game starts at 6:15. They're going to be selling photos for $10. And with this, you can get one item of your choice autographed. That's right, from Gene Novacek. I want to remind you, Speaking Rock is a 21 and over only venue with no exceptions. Open 24/7. 365 days a year at 122 South Old Pueblo Road, our home here for Sports Talk Live. Let's welcome back our main man, Lee Sterling, from ParamountSports.com, who last week went 5-0 with his selections here on the show. You had a week already where you've gone 4-1. Now you've gone 5-0. Locktober is here, and you are on fire swinging out of the gates this season, Lee.
Let's keep it going. No reason to stop.
That's true. No reason to stop. All right, let's get it rolling. Let's start right now with our first game of the night, and this is going to be an 8 o'clock game on Saturday. In fact, it's going to be on FS1. Undefeated 4-0 Washington State visiting Albertson Stadium in Boise, Idaho to take on 25th-ranked the Broncos at 2-1. Now, Boise State, a 6.5-point favorite in this one. It was as much as 8. Now we're starting to see a little action going on Washington State, so it's down to 6.5. You tell me, Lee, how's this one going to go?
Yeah, so Washington State has played two really tough games the last couple weeks. They beat their rival, Washington Huskies, and then they had to play a team running the run and shoot in San Jose State and chase receivers all over the field all night, and they survived in overtime 54-52. So this is a tough, tough matchup for them to get up 3 weeks for three totally different offenses. Now they got to face a Boise attack here, which has gained more rushing yards per game than everyone in the country except for UCF and Army. The Cougars, they often choose to sell out here on defense against the run and leave their DBs in man-to-man coverage. Boise has benefited from taking deep shots for a while, and they're probably, I don't think they've come close to capping the potential here of their receiving crew. And this is going to be the game where I think they, if they stack the box, Washington State, they're going to pay dearly. So I like Boise here. I think they win and cover 40-23.
All right, luck runs out for Wazoo, which takes us to game number two. Going to be a good one between number 15 Louisville and number 16 Notre Dame. The Cardinals are 3-0, the Irish 3-1. It's at Notre Dame Stadium, and we'll go ahead and play it at Notre Dame -7 at home, Lee.
So Louisville won the game last year 33-20. They were aided by a +4 turnover advantage. They look great that night. Everything went their way, also every break. And I'm not real overly impressed with Notre Dame yet, but Louisville has one big problem. They can't run the football. The only decent team they played so far this year is Georgia Tech, and they only ran for 98 yards on 37 carries. Meanwhile, Notre Dame ran for 198 on the road at Texas A&M, and Texas A&M might have a top five defensive line here. This is the first road game for Louisville. I think it's a circle game for Notre Dame. Riley Leonard has lost two straight times to Louisville, including 23-0 last year. I think his preparation for this game will be at a high level. And I think Notre Dame's going to bully Louisville, similar to the way Michigan bullied USC last week. And Tyler Shug is good, quarterback for Louisville. He started off at Oregon. This kid's in his seventh year, 3 years at Oregon, 3 years at Texas Tech. But he needs play action to be successful. And I think Notre Dame's going to put him in some third and long situations here, and he's going to turn the ball over a few times. I like Notre Dame, 28-17.
Takes us to game number three in the college ranks, and it's going to have number three, Ohio State, visiting East Lansing to take on the 3-1 Spartans. Now, you would think that Michigan State, with that record, would get a little home field, favoritism. Not at all. Ohio State, 23.5-point favorites on the road.
Yeah, this is a high line here. And I just, Ohio State's got maybe the best 1-2 punch at running back and a receiver. But Will Howard, not a difference maker here. Otherwise, he'd still be in Manhattan, Kansas, starting for Kansas State. I think Michigan State's offense is going to slow down the pace here, milk the clock. The goal is to be within striking distance in the fourth quarter. Reason they lost last week at BC, turned it over four times. I thought they were the better team, but their young quarterback, Aiden Childs, is going to have some ups and downs, but he can make some plays throwing the ball down the field if he's not greedy, and also running when he has to for first down. So if I was Michigan State, I wouldn't cut the grass for like 2 weeks. I would do it. You remember what they used to do, Notre Dame, when they played Miami to negate the speed, how high the grass was?
Yeah.
It was like a cow pasture. That's what I would do. Because Ohio State has some big-time speedsters at running back and wide receiver. I think Ohio State's going to win 35-17, but Michigan State's going to cover.
All right, Lee Sterling with us from ParamountSports.com. It's Locktober. We'll go to game number four. It's going to be probably the game of the week. Number two, Georgia, visiting number four, Alabama. Georgia's 3-0, 1-0 in the SEC. This will be the first SEC game for 3-0 Alabama. I love Carson Beck against Jalen Milroe. You get that dream quarterback matchup that we get to see in the SEC. Georgia, 2-point road favorites in this one.
You got some really good talent on the field here. I think Carson Beck's going to get taken in the first five picks of the draft next year. I think that Jalen Milroe is one of the better dual-threat quarterbacks you're going to see in a long time. A lot of really good running backs. I mean, Georgia, they play like five running backs. They mix and match the running backs. And Bama, they stick with two guys, 1-2 punches, Jam Miller and Justice Haynes. All that talent is pretty equal. I think the advantage for Alabama might come down to freshman wide receiver Ryan Williams. Here's a guy that should be in high school still. He reclassified, and what has he done coming out as a 17-year-old? 10 catches, 4 touchdowns. He's able to really go up and really get separation here. I think that Georgia's passing game is fine, but Dominic Lovett is not taking over the way they thought he would for Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey. 9 catches, but no touchdowns yet so far this year. And when you have two top five teams matching off, the home team has won 17 of the 27 games here. I'm going to take a shot with Alabama. Wrong team favorite, 27-24.
Takes us to our final game of the week, and that's going to be in the NFL, the Sunday night game featuring undefeated Buffalo at 3-0, going up to M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore to take on the 1-2 Ravens. Now, the Ravens got their big win. They needed it against the Cowboys to avoid falling to 0-3 on the season. Yep. The Bills haven't played anybody yet, but they've looked awfully good. And Baltimore finds themselves a 2.5-point home favorite over the Bills.
Yeah, Buffalo so far, after three games, looks great. I mean, that domination against Jacksonville and Miami the last couple weeks, and even the first week, the way Josh Allen was able to rally his team back against Arizona at home. impressive even without Stephon Diggs. I still think they have a weakness, though. I think their weakness is their linebacker position, and they're down Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard here. And I think that we're going to see Baltimore with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry looking like they're in midseason form, be able to take advantage of that here. So tough game, another game that's going to be fun to watch, a lot of talent on both sides, but home field and Lamar Jackson making the play and taking advantage of those linebackers might be the difference. Baltimore, 33-27.
All right, that takes us to our last one, and that's going to be your free one, which is the tonight's game between the Cowboys and the Giants in Locktober. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yep. So you want to get our free game. It's tonight. It's starting in an hour. Don't normally give the Thursday night NFL game for free, but first five callers, we'll give it to them for free. Dallas and the Giants, just call 800-400-9741. We'll be standing by to take your call live. We'll speak to you personally. So if you want to get Dallas and the Giants, all you need to do, be one of the first five callers, call 800-400-9741. And if you're thinking about coming on board, last week we had the Baker's Dozen. That was a winning promotion. We have not October coming up at Paramount Sports. We call it Locktober, and it starts early. It starts tonight. 5 weeks of games on our executive phone service, normally $5.47. If you use coupon code SAVE200, just $347. And we rate the games from 10 to 50 units. Our first 40 to 50 unit play goes this weekend in college football. It's a 45-unit college football major wager best bet, and we are lifetime 66-24 on these 40 to 50-unit plays. So you want to get that game, and normally 9 to 13 games a week. ParamountSports.com, the Locktober special. Use coupon code SAVE200, just $347. ParamountSports.com, or call us here at the office, 800-400-9741.
Appreciate it, Lee. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, as we continue here, 14 past the hour. All right. He's here. He is back at Speaking Rock, and it doesn't seem like it was that long ago when we brought him to El Paso for our Sports and Health Expo. He came in and dazzled El Paso. He does it every time he's here. He is none other than a longtime Cowboy, former Cardinal as well, Jay Novacek, Wyoming Cowboy too. Great to see you, and thanks for coming by. How are you?
Doing great. Dazzled, huh?
You dazzled us.
Oh,
you did.
My goodness. I've never been able to do that to anybody.
Oh, please. I remember that day like it was yesterday. You had a huge crowd. You were great with us. We had so much fun. And, man, a lot going on with the Cowboys, not just Dallas, the Wyoming Cowboys staying in the Mountain West. The Mountain West stays alive. Your alma mater now. That was in the headlines today. So,
I didn't hear that. I went to the game when they played UNT this last Saturday. So, it was fun watching them, and unfortunately they didn't play very well, but oh well.
Well, that's exactly. Well, listen, a lot of UTEP fans remember the Wyoming UTEP games back in the day. You as well.
Yeah, we came here. I played here in El Paso twice and got beat both times.
Did you really?
No, absolutely. Yeah, why wouldn't you? I mean, come on.
Man. All I know is you got a lot of Cowboys fans here. It's Cowboys country. You
yes,
know that
it is.
Well, because
absolutely.
You've been here over the years, and tonight's a pretty important game, isn't it, with Dallas and the Giants?
Oh, it is. You know, first of all, it's in the conference, you know, so they're going to be playing another time later on. I think that was maybe even later in November, maybe.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But, it's always nice to be up. And they're playing at home, they're playing up in the Giants, so it's a very important game to go up there and show them that they're still in charge of this whole deal.
That's true. And the division is wide open. We've seen the Eagles struggle early on this season. We watched what the Commanders did to the Bengals this past Sunday with Jaden Daniels coming alive, and the Giants were able to get a win against Cleveland. So there's a lot of parity going on right now around the NFL, isn't there, Jay?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not any different than any other season. Any team can beat any team on any Sunday, that whole deal. But I've always said that. I said this when I was talking to the team with Wyoming Cowboys. Most teams lose games. Very few teams win them. And so if they go out and they play mistake-free as much as possible, the chances of winning the game is so much higher. And I really don't think that coaches really instill that into them like Jimmy Johnson did to us. I mean, one of his biggest quotes that I love from him was, it doesn't matter how many great plays you make, but it does matter how many bad plays you make.
And yet, Jimmy just, I mean, I always wonder, and you know this better than anybody, what was it about him where he was just able to tap in and realize that potential and get that team to play as well as you did for so many years?
You know, I think one of the things is he always kept everybody thinking that we aren't that good, we need to get better. And if you have that mental attitude that, you know, you can always better your best, then you do. And he is very, very good at that.
We heard Don Haskins had that same effect with the UTEP basketball team all those years. He would always never let his team get too high and want to keep them hungry and always feeling like they could achieve more.
Yep. You know, it was funny when I first came to the Cowboys, which was 1990, right after the 1-16 team season. And those first 2 years, when we would win, Jimmy would give us more of a break and allow us to have more fun than we did at the end, the last few years, the 2 years that he coached. You know, so he could very, very easily understand when the team needed to be pushed and when to kind of back off and enjoy what we've done.
Jay Novacek with us here on Sports Talk. He's here. He's going to be here tonight watching the Cowboys and the Giants with you at Speaking Rock. You can come meet him, get an autograph. They've got the photos as well for $10 each. So come down here to Speaking Rock with Jay as we continue on the show. You talked about it. We're still very early in the season. A lot of football is left to be played. But because of the last couple of weeks, because the Cowboys fell behind against Baltimore by so many points before they rallied late and just fell short, normally this time of year the team starts off strong. Cowboy fans are ready, thinking this could be it. This is like the opposite of what we've seen the last few seasons with Dallas.
I remember 1 year we were 2-2 after four games, and we end up winning the Super Bowl. It doesn't happen very often, but we were able to accomplish that. So anything can happen. They just have to realize that, you know, you make mistakes, you're probably going to lose. And if the other team doesn't, if they don't make very many, then it's very difficult to beat them. So you always have to go out there and you always have to have that one idea in the back of your mind that I'm gonna do an individual job, and if we all do it, all 11 of us do it, then that team comes together. And if you do that on both sides of the ball in the kicking game, then all of a sudden things just start happening for the positive.
And offensively, Dak gets the new contract, so does CeeDee Lamb. I guess next up is going to be Micah Parsons, so he'll get taken care of. But you've got your offense locked up now for years to come. However, it's the running game that's kind of not been able to get going and get on track like we're used to. Zeke is back for a second go-around. Mm-hmm. You've got Rico Dowdle. You know, you wonder, can the Cowboys put together the running game to make it a little easier on Dak in the passing game?
Well, and they need to, because you can't, you know, today's game, you just can't rely on one thing. And you have to have a good defense, which they've been struggling. You have to have a good, strong running game. It doesn't have to be the running game that we used to have, but you have to have something that you can hand the ball off and, you know, go get 3-4 yards when you need to, coming, you know, especially down in the red zone to be able to punch it in with a touchdown run instead of throwing the ball. Yeah. And once you have that, then things become a lot more easier. And with their offensive line, as good as they are, they, you know, the running back position isn't as important as it used to be back in the 90s. So they should be able to get things going with the receivers and how well those guys do.
You would think. And it's really wide open right now in the NFC picture, isn't it? When you start to look all around the division, there is no Kansas City Chiefs, that dominant team that you just think in January is going to be heading back to the big one.
And that's all they have to think about. You know, they have to beat the teams they're supposed to beat for the rest of the season. And the teams that are, you know, a good matchup with them, they have to split it if they're, you know, get to play them twice, you know. And so once you do that, you end up with 10, 12 wins, and, you know, things are looking pretty good then.
That's right. Jay Novacek with us. All right, catch us up on what we've missed since we've seen you last.
Oh, my goodness.
I notice you've got your Novacek 84 whiskey shirt on right now. So you're in the whiskey business, Jay.
Yeah, it's been 4 years now. And, it's been a lot of fun. I've been actually in El Paso at one of the liquor stores and signed autographs, signed my bottles there, and just kind of traveling around the state a little bit and selling, you know, kind of bootlegging whiskey.
How many different varieties of whiskey do you have?
We just have the one.
Okay.
So, yeah, we just got one whiskey out, and hopefully we're going to look at some tequila here next.
Are you really?
Yeah.
So you're going from whiskey? You might as well continue to keep it moving.
Absolutely. We're going to try a little coconut lime tequila.
Are you going to try to compete with your former quarterback and get into the beer business soon?
I won't be able to do that. We decide that, you know, maybe I should stick with the high-class stuff, and he can have that low-rent stuff, you know,
What else do you have going on? So you have the whiskey. Tell me about what some of the other business ventures you've got right now.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I've always had my cutting horses in the ranch and working that and baling hay and running cattle. And that always takes up so much time, more than I actually have, but I keep doing it for some reason.
Good. And you started this interview talking to Wyoming, so let's end it with what's going on with the Mountain West. They've been in this league ever since the WAC formed and split in 98. Are you pretty happy to know that, you know, the Mountain West is going to survive, Wyoming's still very much a part of it, and UTEP could possibly be coming back into the Mountain West since they need schools to fill it up again with some of the schools that have left? We could have a UTEP reunion in the Mountain West.
Yeah, we sure enough could. Now, how many teams are it, like six or seven now?
Seven, including Hawaii for football.
Okay, yep. And, you know, that was always a fun little deal to go out to play in Hawaii. It's so difficult nowadays with the way college has been transformed and what they've been able to do with paying the players and everything that those colleges like, you know, Wyoming and the UTEPs and it's so difficult to continue on with and play that same type of style of ball that the big guys play.
Yeah.
And so it's very, very, you know, to me it's like, come on, you know, We got to have everybody involved, and unfortunately, it's not like that nowadays. But I'm happy that you know the conference is still intact, and they'll still be able to hopefully pick up some more teams.
And the good news is UNLV stuck around, Air Force is sticking around. You still have New Mexico, you still have Nevada, you have Wyoming. I mentioned Air Force a moment ago, so and Hawaii for football, so. All the schools that are there are all original WAC schools that, you know, were part of that back in 98 before it split apart.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
And you know what WAC stands for? Wyoming and Chumps. Yeah, back then that's what it was.
I love it. Hey, listen, it's great to see you. Thanks for stopping by. Congratulations on all the success, and have a great time tonight meeting everybody out here at Speaking Rock.
You know, I always do. It's very for us, it's always humbling, you know, to have this many fans, you know, this far out of your career. And you know, El Paso is such a huge, huge cowboy town. It's unbelievable. And we just love them all.
Great stuff. He's Jay Novacek, and he's joining us here on Sports Talk as we continue. Back with more in a moment, 600 ESPN El Paso. Continue here on the program, coming your way live from Speaking Rock, hanging out at the main bar as we roll through till 6:15, and the Cowboys and the Giants coming up right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Excited about that. This came in a little while ago on Twitter and X from our pal Esteban. This is a good one, too. I got to read this. This one on air is interesting. Okay, Steve, let's see, he starts out. On Thursday, the 3rd of October, do I endure the hassle of the traffic and the long walk to the Sun Bowl, or do I walk across the street from my house to the shack and watch the game there? Half-naked girls and good food. The shack always has UTEP games. All right. Esteban's got a real conundrum for next Thursday, guys. He really does. But let's start with the idea of traffic and the long walk to the Sun Bowl next Thursday, knowing what we already know about the potential attendance for this game against Sam Houston State.
Yeah, Esteban, I'm going to just tell you right now, as somebody who's covered these games, especially these weeknight games, not going to be a ton of traffic, not going to be a parking hassle for next Thursday. That's just my educated guess based on the record of 0-4 at UTEP and also how we've seen these weeknight attendances so far.
So we would recommend just go to the game. Esteban should take Pinky with him, and they should both go to the game together.
Yeah, maybe say hi to us. You know, we'll be out at the district at some point in that game on Thursday, October 3rd. It's Sam Houston, and so it's going to be a good one, man. Last game that UTEP faced Sam Houston, it was a back-and-forth battle. And oh, by the way, Cade McConnell won that game last year for the Miners in a shootout.
Yes, he did. He sure did. So, all right. Life's toughest choices right there from Esteban. Trying to figure out what he's going to do. Let's take a look at the poll right now and see where we are on the poll. I think that's also important. We put this out early this morning. The poll question simply was this, folks, and that is, for the first time in 20 years, UTEP might have an opportunity to change conference affiliation. Where do you think the Miners will be in 2025? Really hasn't changed. Nearly 400 votes are in. 381, one of our largest polls ever. The Mountain West, 50.7%. The Pac-12, 33.9%. Conference USA, 15.5%. I do believe, Adrian, by listening to some people, that they think there's an outside chance that the Pac-12 will eventually reform with its original teams, and UTEP will be part of that. I think that we really should remind listeners that there is no chance that's going to happen. Any school from the Pac that's now in the Big 12 or the Big 10 is never going to go back to the Pac. And we've also pretty much come to the assumption that the schools in the Pac will probably never get an opportunity to go into a power conference again. And that includes Oregon State or Washington State. They might be maybe the most sought-after mid-major, but if it was that great, wouldn't the AAC schools have taken the opportunity and gone away from the AAC to join the Pac when they had the invitation?
Of course that would have been the case. And for all these, you know, for all these schools that departed, no, they're not going to go back to a conference like this. In fact, they'd disassociate from the NCAA altogether, if you know, and they'd start their own league. I mean, come on, man. Like the SEC, the Big 10, maybe even the Big 12. At some point, those are all going to say goodbye to college football as we know it and start their own league.
And I feel like that needs to be mentioned, okay? If the AAC would not take four of their prime schools, if they wouldn't leave their conference to go to the Pac, that tells you what they think about it. So this league, even though it has Washington State and Oregon State, is not looked at as the top mid-major league in college athletics right now.
Yeah, it might not even be the top group of five either, right? I mean, yeah. I'd still probably be talked into the American, and then I'd go with the Pac-8, whatever that looks like, as far as competitiveness for maybe the sport of football, maybe even college basketball when it's all said and done.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get you ready for kickoff for the Giants and the Cowboys, hanging out with you live out here at Speaking Rock, 122 South El Pueblo Road in the main bar. Come on down and say hi. It's Sports Talk Live, 600 ESPN El Paso.